WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Gail Kim.
This is WWE Superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie.
And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
This is Pat Patterson.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
Bada boom! Realest guys in a room.
How you know?
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Also, if you're joining us over at WildTalkRadio.com, HeroWork.net, or RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for tuning in with us. Greatly appreciate it. It is Thursday night. We're back. It's The Rack. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
I think Tim has better internet than Matt. Good evening, everyone. It's The Rack, live here on Wild Talk Radio Network, at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward on the Twitters, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, GoWork.net. Join us in the interactive chat rooms, and in a separate tab, go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com, vote for The Rack.
Well, you still can. They're getting ready to take it down.
So vote, if you haven't already today.
Yes. Please do. Because, you know, it's our last chance. We gotta vote, y'all.
We don't have to shame. We won't be shamelessly shilling it anymore after tonight.
And we promise. No more spamming you on Twitter. No more spamming on Facebook or the Tumblrs. We're done after tonight. Till the award show. We promise. We swear.
Unless they extend it another week. But they won't.
Yeah, he's not going to extend it another week. But, we promise, no more after this for a while. So yes, if you can, please go vote. We think it's going to be up till midnight Pacific time, West Coast time, something like that. Not sure, but just keep checking it. Keep voting if you can. Remember, The Rack, all things The Rack, go vote for us, please. One more time. Just one more.
One more time.
Yes, the Cookie Monster did his part and he got his cookie.
He did.
All cookies will be delivered in virtual form. Ding!
Yeah! By the way, before we get going, if you would like to be a part of the WTR Royal Rumble Pick'em entry contest, get in contact with us on Facebook or Twitters or Tumblrs or wherever. We have 5 spots left and we need to fill them by Sunday. So if you haven't already joined and you want a spot, or you know a friend who wants a spot, tell them to tweet us, Facebook us, Tumblr us, email me, and all that fun stuff. So, thank you.
Yes, contact us, RackRadioShow.com, all the social medias, easy way to get hold of us, and we will put you in the Royal Rumble, because the drawing is this week?
Sunday night.
Sunday night, y'all, Sunday night. So if you want to be a part,
do it.
Do it. How many spots do you have left?
5 spots left.
You gotta duke it out. They're filling up fast, guys. 5 spots. Only five spots left. So.
I know. So get them while they're hot. So five spots left. Drawing will happen during the second hour of Russell Talk Radio.
It's for bragging rights, guys. Just think, you could just brag for a whole year about how Roman Reigns came in and won the Royal Rumble.
Why would Roman Reigns enter the Royal Rumble?
Because he did last year.
Well, he was the champion last year.
Now, what year did I get Roman? Was it 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
What did I have last year?
I don't know. I don't remember. I know one of the people entered got Neville, and they really were excited they got Neville, and she's obsessed with Neville. So, it lucked out last year. I don't think she'll get Neville this year, because Neville's probably not in the Rumble.
What crap did I get last year?
I don't know. Plug some stuff, and I'll go find out.
Plug some stuff? Okay, well, we've plugged the Wrestling Radio Awards, we've plugged the Royal Rumble, we've plugged the sponsors, you know, except for TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans, and we're going to hit Gerwick.net one more time, just because, you know, Gerwick.net and Wrestling Figure Photography, Instagram.com/MBG1211, because, you know, I'm stalling. We have a lot of stuff to get into tonight. We have news, we have notes, we have NXT SmackDown Throwdown, and yes, we are talking about Michael Cole and the rumors surrounding Michael Cole. Now, I just want to say this up front, it is a rumor. It is not confirmed in any way, shape, or form, but it makes for good conversation. So we're going to talk about the possibility of Michael Cole retiring a little bit later in the show. Do I need to continue stalling?
Let's get into the news. I'm still searching.
All right, we're going to jump into the news. Brought to you by our friends. Again, we're going to hit it, Gerwick.net and TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. And we're just going to kind of hit the light stories first because he's still looking. So first things first, got to give a huge congratulations out to Trish Stratus. She gave birth to a baby girl this past weekend. Go Trish, go. Madison Patricia.
Today.
Oh, today? I thought she did it over the weekend.
I thought it was today.
I thought she had it January 14th.
Oh, maybe it was this weekend. Because the way she was posting over the weekend, that didn't happen. I don't know. Maybe you're right.
I think she put it out today, but I think she was born over the weekend.
She was. We're on Saturday, so she just put it out there. Got it.
Hey, look. I was actually right for once.
Hey, I saw pictures. Anyway, move on. Congratulations, Trish. Did you know she was one of the very first guests on the show? She was actually the first guest on the show.
She was the first guest. She was our very first guest, and we were super excited to have her. Love to have her again. We should, get on that.
I'm working on it.
Because Trish is always fun to talk to.
I'm working on it.
So congratulations to Trish, her husband, and her entire family. I know they've been looking forward to this, and they're super happy and super excited for the brand new arrival. So yay! Speaking of brand new arrivals, coming in February, our intern filled us in on this, so it's an intern special. We have brand new Funko Pops coming to Walgreens in the form of classic Shawn Michaels and Masked Kane.
I like the Shawn Michaels one.
For a second, I couldn't tell if it was Shawn Michaels or Dolph Ziggler. I'm not going to lie. Neither. I actually asked if it was Dolph.
And neither can Dolph.
The Kane one, I have a mixed reaction on.
Why do you have a mixed reaction on the Kane one?
The mask doesn't cover his entire upper part of his face, so it looks a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like this because that's one of my favorite Kane gears that he's like ever had. So for me, it's like, oh yay, they did that gear. So cool. And I want to go buy it. But at the same time, I'm like, the mask is kind of weird. The face is a little creepy. I don't know. I got to go see it. I have to see it in person because I know Funko Pops are kind of creepy anyway. But I just have to see it in person before I decide, you know, hey, yeah, I want to take this home with me or I want to take it to work with me. Because I actually have Funko Pops on my desk at work.
Right.
So for me, it's like, okay, do I want to have it? Do I not want to have it? But yeah, just online, it looks a little creepy.
But then I made the comment to you, it's Kane, so shouldn't it look creepy?
Yeah, but the only time the Kane was really, like, uber creepy was when the mask came off and he shaved his head and he was doing that whole weird awful towel thing and he was walking around in, like, handcuffs and stuff.
Kane's always been creepy.
Eh.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
When he does the comedy stuff, he's not. When he goes like super dark, yeah.
Kane's always been creepy. He always will be creepy. It's Kane. I understand.
I don't know. Maybe because I have a special place in my heart for Kane.
You have a special place in your heart, and you like creepy things.
Yeah, I do. That's evident by my favorite wrestlers. I like the weird ones.
Right.
I,
so that's you're very biased when it comes to that. So
I'm a freak like that.
Yes, you are.
Get my freak on, y'all. Anyway, so look for them in February. Walgreens exclusive. I can't talk tonight. I'm so sorry. It's going to be one of those nights because I'm getting ahead of myself. So speaking of the intern, because he did give us that story, let's do the Blame Brents.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Gotta get on it, man. Get on it.
I'm looking. I'm multitasking.
You're multitasking. All right.
And I was actually turning up the sound when you said it, so... you can't hit two buttons at once. I can hit the button and not play, you know, which happens often.
Yeah, it does.
So anyway, what are the Blame Brents?
So we have Darren Young.
Hashtag Blame Brent.
With a injured elbow, I believe. I think he hyperextended it. Is that what happened? And he tore something?
Yes.
He described it on the Twitters. We are so prepared tonight on this show. We're just batting 10 for 10 tonight.
Traumatic dislocation and fracture of the coronoid process of the right elbow.
That sounds excessively painful.
That does like sounds like bone snapping.
Back's cracking. It's the injury roundup. Hey! So anyway, hopefully Darren Young gets better soon.
What's next?
Tajiri.
Hashtag blame Brent.
This one is definitely painful as he hurt his knee.
And he hopes to be back in time for his, at some point, for his 12 billion WWE fans.
I like that. I hope to be back at some point.
He said something in his tweet about 12 billion WWE fans.
Jerry, there aren't 12 billion people on the planet yet.
Hey, you don't know. There could be.
I think the population's only like 8 billion.
He's thinking of future people. I don't know. It's what he said on Twitter.
He's counting all the onboards right now, I guess. I don't know.
Never said this country, though, or this planet. There could be others out there.
Unless he's talking about the alternate universe that David Bowie is apparently setting up and taking all the good people with him, I'm pretty sure he only means this universe. Just saying.
I don't know. I'm just reporting the news.
God, what good are you?
I know. I can't find the Rumble sheet from last year.
Did you blow it away?
It may have become obsolete.
And you deleted it? You finally deleted something?
No, it's probably in a folder. I just can't find it at the moment. So I'll have to check my email. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on. Quick note on Hall of Fame tickets. They go on sale tomorrow. Pre-sale is going on right now. So go to Ticketmaster.com and pick up your Hall of Fame tickets. Because, well, if you do, you're going to get to see this year's headliner, Kurt Angle. Oh, yes. It's true. It's damn true. He's coming home. Go in the Hall of Fame.
I'm super excited.
I have missed hearing Kurt Angle's theme. It is the best music.
I know, right? It really is one of the best songs in the history of song.
And there it is.
Well, let's talk about Kurt and we'll have it playing in the background. It's awesome that he's back.
It's awesome that he's back. He's been missed. I mean, say what you will about Kurt Angle and everything that he has done in his story career, both good and bad. This is an awesome thing for him. It's great that he's coming back. It's going to be wonderful to see him because this isn't just about the Hall of Fame. It's rumored that Kurt Angle is also going to wrestle, which I kind of have a mixed reaction on just because you hear things about his health and you're just not sure. So if he can pass a physical, they're going to have him, I think, wrestle one more match.
That would be the idea, if he's physically able to, which I don't... here's the thing. He's able to wrestle. He's wrestling on the indie scene, and indie scene wrestling and WWE wrestling are completely different.
Yeah, indie scene, it's a little bit more dangerous. They don't have the health constraints that WWE puts on their talent. WWE has a very strict wellness policy that they want to ensure the health of all the wrestlers, especially as they get older and they get into a more dangerous part of their lives. So, you know, it's like Kurt Angle, I know, is prone to concussions. He has the whole broken freaking neck. There's a history of substance abuse there. There have been a lot of problems in Kurt's past, and we know Kurt basically retired from TNA because he was beat up. He was injured. He was hurting. And he's had a chance to rest. He has been working on the indies some, but I don't think he's been working full-time.
He doesn't work a full-time schedule. He has a couple matches scheduled till March 3rd is his final match on the indie scene again. So one Cody Rhodes. A cage match, nonetheless. Yeah. Right, I'm going to kill this for a minute. Do I want to see Kurt Angle back again in the ring, WWE, one more time? Yeah. For a variety of reasons, because he's Kurt freaking Angle. He was on SportsCenter last night and talking about how he was never in his prime in WWE. His prime came later. He wrestled guys like AJ Styles in his prime, and he wishes people could have seen those matches. That's sort of a little dig. Because let's be fair, not a lot of people. The massive WWE universe never got to see Kurt Angle in his prime in those matches with Samoa Joe and AJ Styles, which were fantastic matches.
Oh, yeah.
When he first, those first couple years when he came in to TNA, he was great. He's been clean for 4 years, which he mentioned on SportsCenter. It's one of those things. He says he's focused on the Hall of Fame. He's focused on just enjoying that, which he should.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge accomplishment. You should absolutely enjoy it.
I look at it and go, there are people I would like to see him fight again. And there's a handful. I would love to see him fight John Cena one more time, because that would just come full circle for everything. I wouldn't mind seeing him in the ring with Kevin Owens. I don't want the match, but I want the stare down.
I want the feud.
No. I want a stare down between Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle. I don't want a match. I don't want to see the match. I just want the stare down.
You just want the tease.
I just want the tease of that, because those two have history together. So it's like, I just want the tease of that. But no, the Kevin Owens would have a great match with Kurt Angle. Seth Rollins would kill him, but you know, that's what he does.
Yeah. I love Seth Rollins. Don't let Kurt near Seth Rollins.
Kurt and Finn would be hell of a match.
See, I want to see Kurt mentor somebody. Like, we all joke about American Alpha, but I would love to see Kurt, like, mentor American Alpha and make them the new Haas and Benjamin. Mm-hmm. And really, really work with them. Because Kurt has mentioned he would like to work with them, and I think they would be very open to that.
It would be great.
So it's like, I can see how you have him working with American Alpha. I'm trying not to call them Haas and Benjamin, because that's not their names.
Gable and Jordan.
And you have Kurt mentoring them, and you could almost build to a three-way at SummerSlam if Kurt is going to wrestle, where you put him in a tag match, where he's at least somewhat protected, so that way it doesn't fall to him to have a singles match. I'm sure he's perfectly fine to do a singles match.
You could do the new team Angle versus Wyatt family.
You could do that.
Wyatt family as in Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, and
Eric Rowan.
There you go.
Because he'll be back by then.
He'll be back by then. But, yeah. We'll talk about all that later in the SmackDown throwdown.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, and you could find, you know, you could do something with the Revival. You could do where they find a third. You could, I'm trying to think of who else is a heel tag team on SmackDown. Not the Ascension, that wouldn't work.
No. There are many other teams on SmackDown for them to work. But it's one of those things, it could just, you just let Kurt be Kurt, and I would totally be fine with Kurt Angle just showing up randomly once in a blue moon on a Raw or a SmackDown just to be Kurt Angle. You know, how they bring back a legend. Just let him be Kurt. I'm okay with that. I love that he's just back in the fold where they can use him in whatever they choose.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have him be brand specific.
That's what I'm saying. Just have him show up randomly, like The Undertaker.
Kurt and New Day.
I'm not hating that.
I kind of like it.
I am not hating a Kurt Angle New Day interaction.
It would be hilarious.
I am not hating that. I am really not hating that at all.
Really not hating that. You're thinking about it. You're thinking about how funny it would be.
Uh-huh. Kurt's wit with the New Day?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm really not hating that. I'm really not.
I'm kind of into that.
It's not a bad idea, honestly. It really isn't.
I think that could be really funny. But yeah, just don't have him be brand specific. Bring him back. I would say sparingly.
Oh, without question, sparingly.
I mean, if he's going to wrestle, don't have him wrestle a lot. Build it, make him a special attraction, use him for SummerSlam, for like Survivor Series, Rumble, Mania, the bigger pay-per-views. And then you can have him mentor people on TV. You can have him, you know, show up in NXT.
Why not?
And bring some much-needed star power to NXT, because a couple people are getting ready to leave NXT, so you help him build that brand back up a little bit more. And it's just, there's a lot of options for Kurt Angle to come in and work in the company, and that's really cool.
He's a guy who, he's instant credibility. You don't have to build him up. Everyone knows who Kurt Angle is, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah, and for those who don't, they're gonna find out.
They could turn on their WWE network and learn all about Kurt Angle, because everything he's ever done in WWE is on there, including this.
The music!
What does he mean by that?
I think I'm cute. I got the metal. I got the moves. Let's make some all tap out the Angle Slam. The Angle Lock. Marty Jannetty. Still can't walk. I'm just a sexy Kurt.
Sexy Kurt.
I'll make your ankle hurt.
Ankle hurt.
I'm just a sexy Kurt.
Okay, all right.
Hold on.
I'll make your ankle hurt. That's right, son. Eat your heart out. Hands off the merchandise. Woo!
I love that moment. That was
wrong.
That was a great moment.
That was a fantastic moment. But speaking of great moments, one thing Kurt has also said, and it creates a very interesting dilemma in this whole thing, is he wants WWE to recognize his time in TNA and even use some of the footage from his matches in TNA, which everybody's like, yeah, right, they're not going to do that. Hold up, they may. And here's why. Because they have recognized Styles' past, they have recognized Joe's past, among others, you know, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, to a certain extent. They don't really talk about Jericho. Generico, but they do mention his time on the indie scene. So, with the sale of TNA now going to Anthem Entertainment, it's no longer Dixie Carter, there could be a deal worked out where WWE does rent the footage from Anthem for Kurt's time in TNA, because let's not forget, Anthem owns the library.
Yeah.
They can do whatever they want with it, so they could work a business deal with WWE where they make it available for their network, and they make a profit off of it. Because Anthem is only interested, really, in making money. They want to produce quality entertainment, But they really, their interest is making TNA profitable and regaining their investment. And one way that they can do that is they can rent the footage of Kurt Angle, of AJ Styles, of Samoa Joe, of Bobby Roode, of all these different talents that WWE has signed that have come through TNA to WWE to put on their network.
Mm-hmm.
And they may just have to do minor editing work where they blur out the logos or they take the trademarks off or something like that, where they have to work on the video footage a little bit. But they could rent that footage perpetually to WWE for a fee.
Yeah.
Because we already know that when all the drama with TNA was happening, that WWE was actively trying to buy their library. They were trying to get hold of it for reasons like this, because if they own the library, then they can use the footage. And they've already worked deals out in the past. There's precedents for this where they rent footage from like ROH.
Yeah, they've done it many times.
So for everybody saying, oh, they're not going to recognize Kurt's time in TNA, they may not say the name directly, but they could easily reference back to it. Especially now that they have Styles in the company.
And all you have to do is put on the top Anthem Entertainment or whatever, owns the footage. That's all they have to do.
Yeah, they don't have to put TNA or Impact Wrestling or whatever. They can just put the Anthem logo, the bird, in there and make it happen.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say never say never. They may be trying to work out a deal. They may not, because they could put together a network collection for Kurt. They may be doing a DVD for Kurt. We don't know what else is coming. The Hall of Fame, though, as we all know, is just usually the tip of the iceberg for talents who are returning.
Yeah, and as predicted in the prediction part of Ask the Rack, I expect him in the video game.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if he isn't in the game. Not at all. I wouldn't be surprised if he's the cover boy.
Or the special whatever part of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprising. He also wants Steve Austin to be the one to induct him.
I'm 100% okay with this.
My second choice would be Edge, but Edge may be doing a Christian, so...
You can do two people.
You can't do two people. He can only do one at a time, one person a year.
But it's Edge.
I understand this, but he can only do one person a year. He can't do two. Just saying.
I would actually love if they would get Stephanie to do it.
Oh, I want another Kurt Angle Stephanie. Oh my god.
They have to do Kurt and Steph. Just that meeting, that initial meeting between Kurt and Steph.
That awkward hug.
they have to go there with that.
That was some great stuff. I know Hunter put a kibosh to it early on, but it was some great stuff.
Oh, it was awesome. Oh, yay, memories. Going down memory lane in WWE, because that's when I first started watching, was all that started happening. So it's like, oh, yes, you know, there's that golden nostalgia. I don't wish we would go back to it, but, oh, yay, golden nostalgia. You think of it with such fondness.
And it's all on the WWE Network.
Just to answer Lamanza's question in the chat real quick, who do we think would induct Taker when the time comes? Personally, it may be Kane. I'm thinking, I actually want it to be like Vince.
Vince or Shawn or Hunter.
Vince or Shawn or Hunter. Ideally, it would have been Bearer if Bearer was still with us, but sadly, he's not anymore. So yeah, I would love to see Vince or Hunter or Shawn do it. I think Kane would be a really, really, really good choice, but I don't know. There's a better appeal about Vince, because I think I almost want somebody who isn't like afraid to roast Taker to do it. And I'm not saying Kane would be, but he's such a nice guy. I don't know if he would do it. If that makes any sense. Like, you know, Hunter and Shawn, especially if they did it together, God, they would just like let him have it.
And it would be amazing.
It would be hilarious. Vince would just roast him. Because that's kind of what I want, is I want somebody to kind of sort of roast Taker when he goes in. Just like we want the roast of Vince McMahon. Because it's like, Taker is always so serious that you want that moment of comedy and levity to the situation.
Yeah.
Just to see if you can get him to break character.
Right? That's sort of what you want.
Because it's a Hall of Fame. It's supposed to be this fun thing, and, you know, people walk out and they give these really heavy speeches, heavy long speeches that they talk about their mama. And it's just like, oh, God. So, you know, it's like, you want something that's gonna lighten the mood and have fun, especially to such a dark character. But, yeah. And I don't know if Kane could do that. I mean, he did a pretty good job with Pete Rose.
But that was Pete Rose.
That was Pete Rose.
That's not Taker. Taker's a different beast.
Cause it's like, you know, it's like for Kane, you think about the character with Kane and Taker, and it's like, you lit me on fire when I was like 12, and, you know, all this other stuff. It's like, yeah, no. Hunter and Shawn be like, oh yeah, you remember that time that we totally got all those chicks in the back of your hearse?
Right?
Cause that happened.
Cause that happened. Actually, it happened like 19 years ago this week. Think about that. Think about that.
There could be a little Shawn running around somewhere. We don't know. No, probably not. I would hope not. God.
Well, no, probably not. Well, you never know. The mysteries of life.
The mysteries. No, Taker is not going to go in posthumously. Taker will still be with us. Taker is probably going in the next year or two, realistically.
We assume.
Once he's finally done, which we say this every year, this year's going to be the last year, even though he swore up, down, left, right, and center that he was done after Shane, and he lied.
I'm done. I'm gone. Screw you, Vince. I'm going home. But now I'm back. Taking souls and digging holes.
Taker, you lie. So yeah, no, I think Taker will still be with us when he goes in. Not good.
Not what I would assume, unless something tragically happens. Yes, he will be with us.
Yeah,
as he goes in.
Yeah, because they're going back to New Orleans, so presumably that's where it happens.
Last year you had Roman as well. Last year you had Roman, I think. Yeah.
Okay, Matt, stop! Don't put that out in the universe. Okay, just don't.
So you had Roman 2 years in a row, I think.
Oh, did I?
You had Roman last year. That's for damn sure.
Okay. Well, I knew I had him.
It took me long enough to find it, but I found it.
You keep everything.
I keep everything, but it wasn't labeled under R. It was labeled under 2016. I've been sitting here searching the entire time.
As we've been stalling. So, congratulations to Kurt. Moving on with the news, because, you know, it's like we're sitting here talking about it, and we're stalling.
Presented by Garwick.net and Wrestling Figure Photography and TNAsylum.net.
The haven for TNA fans. Ding!
What's next?
Well, we did a lot of talking about AJ Styles with the Kurt Angle segment, and, well, we have to mention this because it's breaking news as of today, and it's kind of a weird story. It's a very tragic story, but it's a weird story because it came out that while SmackDown was in Arkansas this past week, AJ Styles apparently got robbed at the arena. Somebody took a bag containing $1,000 in U.S. currency, $7,000 in yen, an Xbox, all his games.
Six games, the Xbox 360, a small TV screen, a set of an iPhone, and a set of Beats headphones.
What I want to know is, why is he traveling with $7,000 in yen? Like, the $1,000 in cash, I get. I completely get, because they live on a cash basis. So, he had that money for traveling purposes. But why do you have $7,000 of yen in your bag?
Because it's probably been in that bag forever.
But why not get it changed out?
Because it's probably in the video game bag. That's probably where it was.
Oh, I know that's where all the money was.
But I'm just saying, it's probably been something it's always been in there for when he would make his travels. I don't know why he has $7,000 in yen. I'm just going off of it.
I just ask these questions, because it's like, he has there's such an imbalance between the U.S. currency and the Japanese currency that it's like, why does he have that much money in yen in his bag?
Because you never know when someone needs yen. Because
he didn't go over to Japan this last time NXT went, right?
No.
So maybe he has it for when they go to Japan. I don't know. Anyway, it was the randomness of it that it's like, why? It's like the Xbox, the headphones, the screen, the phone, all that other stuff makes sense. The cash is like, what? Why do you have that much money on you, dude? Because essentially he had like $8,000 on him. It's like, why do you have that much? Why are you traveling with that much? Get you a debit card.
I can't help you on that. But yeah, sucks. The investigation is underway, so we'll see if he gets any of his property back.
Well, the cash is gone. You know the cash is gone.
Well, I don't think he cares about the cash. And honestly, I think he can replace everything that I had. It's just more of trouble than anything else.
Well, it sucks because it's... And you kind of have to wonder how this went down because it's like, did he leave it in his car and somebody broke into his rental car? Did he have it in the arena and somebody inside either got in the arena or somebody inside already stole it?
It sounds like someone in the arena stole it. That's the way it feels.
That's the way it sounds, which is gotta freak a lot of them out because a lot of them travel with stuff like that, you know, with video game consoles or small TVs or iPads or computers. I mean, you just think about Xavier Woods. You think about all the crap Xavier Woods travels with. The fact that, you know, you've got that sitting backstage and somebody can just walk in and take it. And nobody would question somebody in the arena carrying a bag.
Yeah, it's like a briefcase.
Like, nobody would question it, because it's, oh, okay, that person's, you know, because it's like, there's so much activity, there's so much going on, you know, it's, oh, so-and-so asked me to get this for them, or so-and-so asked me to take this out to their car. You know, stuff like that can happen where it's like, because it's such a microcosm, you know?
Yeah.
So, somebody could easily walk into the men's locker room and take it, and walk out with it, and nobody would know. I mean, that's a really disturbing thought.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
So... Sucks for Styles. I do hope he gets some of his stuff back.
Yeah, hopefully.
Because I'm sure they would be able to track the phone up until it dies, because it's probably dead now.
And it probably wasn't even his phone he uses. It was probably the spare phone, I would assume.
Maybe.
I don't know. It seems like it was all his one bag of stuff that someone took. It seems like. I don't know.
I don't know. So, best of luck, AJ. We salute you as you endeavor to find your things. He is cooperating with police. They are actively searching for the stuff, but as of now, nothing has been found. So, but speaking of found, because it was somewhat lost and it was somewhat rumored, and I have no other transition, Hunter Triple H announced while doing the British tournament that a women's tournament is coming in the summer.
Yeah, he was on Fox Sports podcast of some sort, I forget the name of it, and basically mentioned, yeah, they've been working on a women's tournament. The reason for why some are not earlier is just scheduling and stuff, and that's why it's been sort of delayed and whatever. So they're looking at the summer, probably when they did the Cruiserweight Classic last year, probably that time frame, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
Logistics-wise. But yeah, they're going to do the women's tournament like the Cruiserweight Classic, and it should be fun. They're trying to pull in a bunch of names, and we'll see where they go from there.
Well, I think it's their hope to find hidden talent, like what they did with the Cruiserweight Classic, and bring new blood into WWE.
Right, I don't expect, like, the Cruiserweight Classic all the women to be signed, but if you show up and you do well, you may get a job on NXT, I would assume.
NXT, or depending on how good you are, the main roster, because they do need to expand the women's rosters, and that's probably what they're looking to do, because Raw is hurting so bad right now.
Raw is hurting, but Raw needs like one or two people, but NXT is going to need it at some point.
Yeah, NXT will need it because I think they're getting ready to bring more people up. So here's hoping that they can fill that roster back out with some awesome women. I'm just excited as a female wrestling fan because for me, it's like I've kind of dreamed about stuff like this where the women get to do cage matches and Hell in a Cell matches and be featured and be in the main events and get a tournament, a whole tournament, just focusing on women's wrestling. To me, that's really cool. And I know that TNA has done that. I think it's really, really awesome that TNA has done that, and I salute them for it. But it's cool to me that WWE has finally decided to do that, because after years of just like bra and panties matches and BS with the women where they didn't treat them right and they just were like, oh yeah, you're just eye candy and side pieces and everything like that, that they're finally focusing on the women, because it's like, I have heroes now. Female heroes. Like, I would always look at the Divas division and it's like I never connected with it because I don't strive to be that. There are all these like 6'2" blonde glamazon women that I'm just sitting there like, that is so not me. That is so not me at all. So it's like when you got girls like AJ and Paige and Bailey and Charlotte and Sasha, Becky and Alexa, and you start getting all these different women, you know, Naomi, you start getting all these different women in, and they're all, you know, have their own aesthetic and their own look and their own persona and their own character. It's like, I can connect with this. And I love that they've done that. And it's like TNA did something really similar back in the day when they put in their women's division and they had, you know, like Gail Kim and Victoria, and they brought in Mickie James, and they had all these really fantastic women. And it's like they originally did the beautiful people and they did the beautiful people, and it was so different. And I was like, yes. So it's like, it makes me really happy that WWE is doing this and they're actually committing to focusing on women. It's like, thank you.
Right.
Because it's about time.
About damn time.
Damn it. So I have no transition for this because we're at that point in the show where I have no transitions and it's just really super awkward. Got announced that Jerry Lawler will be making his commentary return at the Royal Rumble, where he will be commentating the pay-per-view. He's also doing the pre-show, and I believe he's commentating the Rumble itself.
He's doing the Rumble match with Corey Graves and Michael Cole.
Yay.
We'll talk more about Jerry Lawler in a bit.
Yeah, we will. We'll get into that in a little bit. And, well, we're going to save the controversial one for last. But just a quick note on TNA, Marty Bell is no longer with TNA. She has left the company. No circumstances on that, right? She left of her own accord.
Contract was up.
There you go. So best of luck to Marty Bell as she moves on in her future endeavors. And now we're going to talk about this one because it's awkward and it's controversial and people are really, really mixed about it. This past week, and we lost a legend. I'm very sad to say that Jimmy Snuka passed away over the weekend. Very unfortunate. We send our thoughts and condolences to the Snuka family as they move through this difficult time. WWE did a very, very lovely tribute to him on Monday Night Raw, where they threw up the little graphic, like what they all do, and then they did a nice video for him, where they had people talking about him, and they did it up right for him. Now, here's where the controversy comes in. Jimmy Snuka, at the end, did not have the best time. We've talked about it in the past on the show, where he had been accused of murder. He was in the process of preparing to stand for trial when they basically dismissed the charges on the grounds that he was very, very, very ill, to the point that he's terminally ill, obviously, and he did not have long to live. So rather than put him through a trial that he could potentially die through, you know, halfway through, they just dismissed the charges. A lot of people are upset that WWE did the tribute to him based on that information. And by a lot of people, I mean a lot of people.
There's a lot of backlash. There are people who also believe they should have done more.
Yes, there are.
Including Matt in our chat room. He believes they should have did the whole 10 bell salute. I was surprised he got the video.
I wasn't surprised that he got the video. I was actually expecting the video. And I was pretty much figuring they weren't going to do the 10 bell salute, but there was always the possibility that they could. But I think given the circumstances, he deserves it. I'm not saying that. And they may have done it off camera.
No, they didn't.
Go with me on this.
Okay.
They could do it off camera, but I think there's a certain sensitivity to the matter. And part of this kind of stems back to He Who Shall Not Be Named, where when all of that happened, they threw up the graphic and they did the video. They had everybody out on the stage and they did the 10 bell salute and they did the works for him as they should have because he was an active member of the company at the time. And then later everything sort of came out and they kind of had egg on their face. Because of the situation, I understand why they didn't do it. Because it's like they know what was going on there. And it's like, yeah, they don't want to do too much because that will raise even more controversy where people are like, oh, you know, you're saluting a murderer, or, you know, and it's going to bring back all those negative feelings with Chris Benoit. And they don't want that. But it's like they can't just ignore it. They had to do something, mainly because his daughter works for the company still. Like if he was an active member, basically if he was active in the company, they would have done the Dusty level tribute, but they did everything for Dusty. But because he wasn't active, I think that's also why they didn't do as much. Maybe
here's the thing. Think about it from the other side. Think about the trial he was involved in and all the legal matters. Think about it from that family's side. They believe in their heart he's a murderer. Whether it's true or not, that's what their side believes. How do you think they feel seeing WWE honor and praise this man who essentially killed a person in their family? Killed their sister, I believe it was?
Yeah.
Think about it from that perspective.
Well, it's kind of weird because it's like, the rumor has always gone that when all of this happened, basically Vince paid the courts off to ignore the case. And so the case went cold and it went unprosecuted for years. And the sisters, for whatever reason, waited till last year to bring this up.
Someone followed up on the 30-year story or whatever. And that's why this whole thing was brought back up. And that's why everything went the way it was. You just look at it, and you have to look at it from both sides. WWE was in a tough position. If they did absolutely nothing, people would go on the internet and complain. If they did went over the top, people would complain. Do I think they did it all in the middle ground? Yeah. I told Lindsay I only expected a graphic. I never expected the video, but because Tamina's in the company, that's the only reason he got the video. Flat out.
I wouldn't say it's the only reason, but it's a big reason.
It was a big reason. It was a big reason. And they're in a tough spot anytime a wrestler passes away. They always are. You just have to look at it, and you have to judge it case by case. And that's a simple fact. Should he, for his wrestling career, should he have gotten the 10 bell? I guess. But for the person, it's a little much trying to honor that man. After you learn everything about him?
Well, to be fair, nobody's perfect. That does not excuse what happened.
But not everyone's a murderer. That's
not everyone is a murderer, yes. It does not
allegedly,
excuse murder.
Allegedly.
Allegedly murder, yes, allegedly. He was never convicted. But that doesn't excuse, but it's like nobody's perfect. No wrestler, no person that's ever existed is without fault and without blame and without things that they've done, horrible things that they've done in their past. Him, more so than others. But, you know, so it's like you can't say that. I'm trying to think of a good way to say this, and I can't say this.
Matt, while he is not listed in their section as a Hall of Famer, Jimmy Snuka is still a WWE Hall of Famer.
Yeah, they haven't taken him out of the Hall of Fame.
I'm going to explain this whole WWE.com situation. They don't want Google searches. They've never taken anyone out of their Hall of Fame. Hulk Hogan is not out of their Hall of Fame. Jimmy Snuka is not out of their Hall of Fame. He's off their Google searches. That's that, okay?
He's still in.
As I get up and grab the big ass book, keep talking.
Oh, you're getting we're breaking out the encyclopedia. Screw the Google search, we're breaking out the encyclopedia. But no, I guess it's just like, him having a past does not excuse what happened, but I don't think you can deny him. I don't think you can deny him what's technically his because of that past, because I'm gonna make the argument with Chris Benoit. And everybody is going to have to leap with me on this. Because this debate has been going on ever since it happened, of whether Chris Benoit should go into the Hall of Fame because of his wrestling career. But he shouldn't because of what he did. This is kind of a similar situation. Snuka was already in. So it's like, well, if you're willing to excuse what Chris Benoit did to put him in the Hall of Fame, then you have to be willing to excuse what Snuka did. Just saying.
And he is listed as a Hall of Famer in the book.
I'm not saying it makes it right. I'm not saying it makes it better, but if y'all are going to be calling out Snuka for something and sitting there going, oh, but Chris Benoit deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, no. You don't get to say that. You don't get to do it like that. It's one way or the other.
So, when we come back...
Because, you know, I just went there. So, when we come back...
Really?
Also,
hold on.
No, wait.
Really?
I'm not done.
Really? Wikipedia? Really?
I'm not done. Hold on. Also, the people that were, like, calling him out the day that he died, you were horrible, horrible people. The man was, like, not even cold. And you all were, like, straight up being like, oh, well, you know, he deserved it because he did whatever. No, that is wrong. No, that is terrible. That is wrong. That is such a disrespect for life. No.
The official book has him in the Hall of Fame. Just saying. Screw your Wikipedias. I have the book.
And if you're pissed at our comments, you can all inquiries, emails, hate mail. Go to media@wildtalkradio.com. No offense to anybody. I apologize if I offended anybody, but that's just my opinion. Deal with it. So when we come back, we are talking about replacing Michael Cole. The rumor is swirling. Is Michael Cole leaving WWE? Well, we're going to talk about it after the break. So you're listening to The Rack right here at wildtalkradio.com, and we'll be right back.
Louis bags, they strapped with a priceless glow. High life, flipping and get some more. Paradise, the luxury marble flow. When I hit, me full of that cash. More money than I seen in the garbage can. Stunner Island, money and the power. That's how we do it, make it rain, make it shower. Top flow, big time, I'm doing big things. Over city view, boss.
Have you subscribed to the Rack Radio Show YouTube channel? If you haven't, here is what you are missing. 5 days of WWE 2K17 content featuring Mashup Monday, featuring your favorites performing entrances of other WWE superstars. Tuesday is Raw Redo, featuring a recreation of a match from the previous night's edition of Monday Night Raw. Wednesday is Wild Card Wednesday, where anything could happen in WWE 2K17. Thursday is Throwback Thursday, featuring a historical matchup from WWE history. Friday is Fantasy Friday, featuring a dream match between two WWE superstars. Plus monthly simulations of every WWE pay-per-view. What are you waiting for? Subscribe now to youtube.com/recradioshow for daily content from WWE 2K17.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It is that time once again for the Wrestling Radio Awards, and we need your help, as The Rack has been nominated for Female Interview of the Year with the Bella Twins, Media Interview of the Year with Barbie Blank aka Kelly Kelly, Media Interview of the Year with Jeff Jarrett, and of course for Show of the Year. You can vote once a day. Support us in this year's Wrestling Radio Awards by voting at WrestlingRadioAwards.com.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Thirty men. 10 teams.
One winner. Which one of your favorite WTR personalities was able to put together the winning combination and outlast the competition in the WTR Rumble? Find out at youtube.com/rackradioshow. It's time to rumble only at youtube.com/rackradioshow.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bell Twins, and you're listening to the Rap Radio Show. Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Also, if you're joining us over at Gerwig.net, WildTalkRadio.com, and RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for listening in. You missed our somewhat controversial, I guess, news segment. I don't know, where I kind of went off. Sorry about that. But now we are going to have our new segment. Or not our news segment, good lord. Our discussion segment.
Yeah.
Where the rumors are swirling. It's kind of news, kind of not news. Where supposedly Michael Cole has indicated that he wants to step down from commentary. He wants to remain with WWE in some sort of backstage role, but he wants to step away from the microphone. Which leads to an interesting question. If Michael Cole steps down as the voice of WWE, who replaces him?
Now, before we answer that question, how long has Michael Cole been in WWE, do you know?
Since, like, 96, 97, hasn't he?
1997. He's going on about 20 years with WWE. He's been calling Monday Night Raw matches for just about 20 years now.
Yeah, I was going to say, he started as a backstage commentator, and then he got upgraded to a part-time commentator, yeah. And then after, was it when Lawler left the first time he got promoted?
Oh, when he was doing SmackDown at that point, and then, I don't know, when Lawler left, that whole thing was confusing. But no, he started in 97, he was doing work with Kevin Kelly and random announcer here. He was part of a three-man booth, because they love their three-man booths. And just sort of went from there, and he's grown, his role has grown, and he's now in charge of bringing in announcers to the company, some good. Corey Graves. Nigel McGuinness, who was fantastic on the WWE UK tournament special. If you want to know more about the WWE UK tournament, tune in to Wrestle Talk Radio. Omega is going to give some takes, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tune in. Omega gives you takes.
Takes?
Maybe hot takes. I don't know.
Hot takes, hot cakes. Hey!
How about that? But he was awesome in that. Then you have the dude from Percy Watson. He's awful. Otunga is awful. Yeah, so he is hit to miss. He's the one who brought in Mauro Ranallo.
Thank you for that.
As well. But he wants to move to a backstage role and sort of step away from the microphone and help produce people and bring in talent and et cetera, et cetera. Because, let's face it, he's been doing it for 20 years. At some point, you kind of get burnt out, and for all the criticism, he was fantastic also in a UK tournament. But at some point, you have to move to the next voice. And no one's saying it's going to happen tomorrow. Or this year, or next year, or whatever. But he's indicated that he would like to transition away from the booth at some point. Which leads two names possible currently who could fill that spot. And there are others as well. Because the last time they had to replace a voice, it was Jim Ross. And everyone was up in arms when they replaced Jim Ross with...
Michael Cole.
No, it wasn't even Michael Cole. It was Mike Adamly.
Right. Right, and then Adamly got fired and then Cole took over.
No, Jerry Styles took over then.
And then Joey Styles got fired, and then it was Michael Cole.
Michael Cole came over eventually, but yeah.
Well, they were kind of working him in. They were kind of like trying to move him over, but people kept getting in the way. But I mean, it creates an interesting thing because it's like when they replaced JR, because Cole's voice is now synonymous with Monday Night Raw and WWE in general. For a long time, he was doing everything. He was doing Raw. He was doing SmackDown. He was doing pay-per-views. He was doing interview segments. I mean, he was the guy, and he still is, where he was the number one announcer, and everybody else was kind of filled in around him. And obviously, with the brand split, they can't expect him to do everything, you know.
No,
and that included Main Event and Superstar too.
Yeah,
but it's like he can't do everything. He can't call everything. So it's like you have to work in those next announcers. And when you've been doing it for 20 years, I can see how you would want to step away. I mean, that was Jim Ross's whole deal, kind of. Was Jim Ross wanted to step away and not do as much, because Jim Ross was all over WWE. He was WWE. It's like his voice, his commentary style, to this day, is still the benchmark for WWE.
Right, and Jim Ross was also doing was head of talent relations as being the head announcer for Raw and SmackDown as well. So, it's a tough transition. It's finding a new voice. You look at UFC, Mike Goldberg, who's been there since 2001, he's the guy. He's the guy you know. It's all over. At the end of every fight, he's the dude, and now he's no longer going to be there. Could he be the next guy in WWE? I wouldn't be surprised if they talked to him and see what he was thinking. To be the lead play-by-play guy, because they were here's the whole tie into that. He was supposed to be the guy to replace Jim Ross, and he backed out at the last minute, and that's why they brought in Joey Styles.
Who was the ESPN guy? Was that Skip Bayless?
What ESPN guy?
Who's the ESPN guy that's like a huge, or the sportscaster that's like a huge WWE fan?
Oh, it's not Skip Bayless.
Who is it? Because they had him on Raw and everything. They actually had him do commentary, and he was really good.
Bill Simmons. He was no longer with ESPN.
I knew he worked for ESPN.
He worked for ESPN, yes.
Counts for something. I mean, you could bring in Bill Simmons. You could have Bill Simmons do it, but I don't think you need to go outside for it. I think they're really announcer heavy in terms of people both in NXT and on the main roster, because you have a 4-man commentary team on SmackDown, you have a 3-man commentary team on Raw, you have a 3-man commentary team on NXT, and you have commentators waiting in the wings, like our good friend Vic Trivilianti from House of Hardcore, who's currently training with them. Go Vic. Yay. We're going to hit that as hard as we can. Sorry. Just sorry in advance. But you have plenty of announcers waiting in the wings to where you don't need to really go outside. I think if you're going to replace Cole on Monday Night Raw, you have it there.
His name is Tom Phillips.
Yeah. His name is Tom Phillips. You bring Phillips over from SmackDown, you have Tom Phillips replace Michael Cole, and you do Corey Graves and Tom Phillips.
And even Byron Saxton would work with that, with Tom Phillips. Why? Because it worked in NXT.
Yeah. Do that 3-man team, that would be really, really, really good, because Graves and Phillips have tremendous chemistry. You bring that duo up from NXT, you have them calling Monday Night Raw, you throw in a little Byron Saxton, there you go.
That would be fine with me. Then you move Vic into Phillips' spot in NXT. He can work with Percy Watson and whoever else they find. Bring in Nigel to that and throw him there. You then leave SmackDown with JBL and Ronaldo. I did not Otunga. Find a third, and you're good.
This is where I have to look. I have to look at who their announcers are, because I don't even know. Is Ardo Arcal still with them?
Ardo Arcal is no longer with World Wrestling Entertainment.
Okay, that's what I figured, but I wasn't sure.
He was released last year.
Right. Well, and then that creates an interesting thing, because could you promote somebody else to commentary?
Renee Young. Let's put Renee Young on SmackDown.
There you go.
Renee Young, Mauro Ranallo, and JBL. Because JBL and Renee have great chemistry. Mauro Ranallo and Renee Young have great chemistry together. They can all work together.
And plus, it brings a female voice to the commentary thing, which is something they don't have right now, and could create a very interesting dynamic and an interesting reaction from the crowd. It could be good, it could be bad. Personally, I would love to hear a woman calling wrestling, you know, because duh, I'm a girl, and it's all men calling wrestling. Why can't a girl do it? They had her do Superstars for a while, and from what I understand, she did fine.
And she did NXT for a while, too.
And she was great on NXT.
So, and maybe that's not her thing. Maybe that's not something she wants to do, but it could be if she wants to be put in that position. But I wouldn't mind that being a trio on SmackDown. I wouldn't mind the trio we mentioned for Raw. And NXT is a developmental ground, so you have to build the next voice. And they claim there's what they want to do. They want to build new talent for every position in NXT in the Performance Center. You do it with an announcer, and you go from there. I'm okay with it. So, yeah, that's sort of it.
That's sort of it. So, well, there you go. That's our opinion on it. What do you all think? Anybody? Anybody? Chat room?
They seem on board.
Basically, it's replace.
Get rid of Otunga. Get rid of Otunga and sort of get rid of Michael Cole. That's the general consensus I've sort of gathered tonight.
Jonathan Coachman is not coming back, guys. No, he's not coming back. I'm so sorry. He's perfectly happy over at ESPN. So, no. Sorry,
that's not going to be a thing.
I really love the guy from England. That would be Nigel McGuinness, Matt. Nigel McGuinness. The good descriptor.
The guy from England. The guy from England. Matt, you ask these questions. Just kidding, Matt. Anyway, we're going to break now.
Yeah, we're going to break. So when we come back, we are going to be doing the SmackDown Throwdown, the NXT Rundown, and Tweet of the Week. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back.
Damn right, yeah, I'm going in. Setting my sights high, let it go and then. Let them know how it go and win. They be thinking lights out, then I go again. Gotta blaze the route. Got a couple foul haters, I phase them out. All of y'all praise the doubt. I raise the crowd, my favorite, how I'm the favorite now. Any given time, I can fast forward. Y'all can sit in line, I'll be past all it. When I know it's mine, I don't ask for it. Why doesn't everyone know I call last for it? I'm just counting the mouse like a...
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
This Tuesday, join us for a live simulation of the WWE Royal Rumble. Who will WWE 2K17 choose? Find out during the live simulation at twitch.tv/rackradioshow. Are you ready to rumble? We are, Tuesday night 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, you're going to put something on that list. Why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What is the greatest cartoon TV show of all time? This Saturday, CB Radio decides.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
It is the Greater Than Great Debate. Heard every Saturday night at midnight-ish Eastern on CB Radio, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Barbie Blank, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Here on WildTalkRadio.com. But to reference over at Wrestling Figure Photography, follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Also, if you're listening to us over at WildTalkRadio.com, Gerwick.net, or RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it because you know what? You guys are just in time for Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're given. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So Seth Rollins, Topeka, Wichita, 1 p.m., Tulsa, Little Rock. Colors are ugly as sin, with a little pukey face, but excited to test out Nike Metcon 3, stop exercising, start training. And it's a picture of him in gray and white in neon green shoes. To which he tweeted out another picture of him, you know, with his black, jet black Nikes going, that, now that's where it's at. Rumble, young man, rumble. And Cesaro responded, I like you wearing the neon wind greens better. Bailey responded going, same, colors for Rollins, please. And Seth replies, I will fight both of you. To which I say, Bailey would win.
Yes.
We all know Bailey would win that fight. Dilith Nilmasari, I hope I have said your name right, I'm so sorry, tweeted Kevin Owens and said, my cat won't let me watch the WWE UK tournament. Advice? Kevin Owens goes, press pause. WWE tweeted out Raw exclusive Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson say they were cheated and robbed by Cesaro and Sheamus tonight. And Sheamus responded, Japan has produced dishes such as sushi, sashimi, tempura, and these two eggheads. Stop crying, Tamagotchi brothers. Sheamus, or Freddie Prinze Jr. then tweeted, with the pure, unadulterated, blinding whiteness of Sheamus and the golden chocolate tan of Becky Lynch, I worry about an Irish eclipse. And Sheamus goes, can it, Sandy? Hashtag Manny. Freddie Prinze Jr. then replies, you're the only light on those dark, dark nights. Hey, how's Cesaro? And Sheamus replies, he's practicing hot cross buns on the recorder. Hashtag needs help. And that's all I got.
Jonathan Snowden. Well, it's official. WWE doesn't believe in Jesus. Hashtag WWE UK Championship Tournament. Which reminds me, this is where we're going to take a quick detour. Quick one. Maybe?
You still have it?
I thought I did. Where is it? Damn it. Now what I wanted, I can't find it. Son of a gun.
You're using it all last weekend.
I know, and now I can't find it. Why? Why would I want to find something I can't find it tonight? Oh, God. Alright, I'm gonna look for it. And we'll come back to it.
As I say, I can't stall for you because I don't have your tweets.
I know, you don't have my tweets. So, moving right along, he says as he's trying to multitask two different things at once. Why isn't it there? Anyway, Jay Hunter tweeted, XFL got a one-day Hall of Fame exhibit in New York today. They made a big splash. Live Audio Wrestling replied, if it was a permanent Hall of Fame, it would have had a huge turnout on the first day, but historic lows by week four. Taking shots. Scott Fishman, reason Ringling Brothers is closed, they couldn't compete with the real circus going on in Washington. He's not lying.
He's totally not lying.
He's really not lying on that one. I tweeted, favorite activity growing up and favorite TV show growing up. Hashtag guest bully, which Bully Ray replied, baseball, football, and happy days. I got a reply from Bully Ray. I call that a win. Seth Rollins tweeted, sick game. I love football.
And the Bears weren't even in it.
Which is why he loved football.
Which is why he loved football.
Keep 5-star. Making new friends as an adult is hard. Hashtag Rollins. Picture of Sami Zayn trying to make friends with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Total Divas episodes. Tune in next week when Charlotte reveals Bayley's Salute Your Shorts remake, where all the campers are her favorite WWE superstars. NBC Sports. Jerry Jones. I really believe that Tony Romo will play in the Super Bowl. Madden Football on Twitter replied, the EA Sports account, we'll send them a copy of Madden 17. I love when those accounts actually take shots back. It's awesome in so many ways.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Let's see. Triple H tweeted, NXT changed the landscape of an industry and it's time to vote. Samoa Joe replied, I'm being told you're supposed to vote so someone is recognized for enjoyment they have brought you in 2016. Then I will beat them up.
But what if they vote Joe? Because isn't he nominated?
He is nominated.
So is he going to beat himself up?
He may do that. I could turn that really weird, but we're not going to. We're going to keep it simple and easy and move on.
Does that come back to his quote of, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure?
Exactly. That's hashtag vintage WTR.
Okay, wait. Before we go on.
What?
Because it came up on my damn TV. I want to rant on this real quick. Tangent. Dear Pop-Tarts, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and any other food product out there that murders your food in your commercials, can you stop? Like, seriously, can you stop? I mean, Cinnamon Toast Crunch is cannibalism. Does anybody else notice that? That it's like you have the one Cinnamon Toast Crunch eating the other Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's cannibalism.
You good now?
It's wrong!
I'm not disagreeing with you.
You have a poodle bake Pop-Tarts! Like, they're all on a stage for, like, the presidential debate, right? Because they're all nominated. A poodle hits a button and drops them all into a toaster. It's a giant death trap. What the hell? Who came up with this? Somehow that is oddly appropriate.
Mauro Ranallo, it's not lost on me the significance of landing in Memphis on MLK Day. Austin Aries, here I was just hoping you'd actually get significantly lost. Oh well, see you tonight for 205 Live. Raymond Booth, Hunter, if they break my screens, 205 Live is over, said Vince McMahon. Ronaldo, hey, United, you are every expletive I can think of, worst ever. Don't even try replying. I just wanted everyone to know. Steve Carell, breaking news, The Office returning to NBC. A couple minutes later. Wait, sorry, I meant Will and Grace. Typo. And he tweeted today, my account was hacked by Toby Flenderson.
Of course.
Of course it was. Always blaming Toby Flenderson. All right. Rusev. No, Renee Young missed the next shot. $0 for her. She is surprisingly good, though. For a Canadian A. Wrote Canadian end in the letter A with 3 exclamation points. Renee Young. Canadians are good at basketball. You know, CC Steve Nash. You can send payment to my PayPal account. Rusev. 35 million Canadians, one great player. Renee Young, that's what happens when Canadians throw Russian, Bulgarian, American bachelorette parties. Maybe I've seen too many movies. Rusev, I'm a hot commodity. What can I say? Straight fire! And he did the emoticons for fire. It's a miracle. He walks. Oh, my brother, testify. Hashtag told Eva, said Rusev. Rusev fixes everything, then chills, and then squats, and then chill. Life of Rusev. Hashtag total divas. Rusev, why is Renee Young dressed like the Canadian Indiana Jones? Hashtag total divas. So back to the 35 million Canadians, one great player thing. Jargo replied, 7 million Bulgarians, 0 great wrestlers. Rusev, my wannabe Mr. Wannabe Rockstar, give credit to Andre Giant. He was half Bulgarian. And get a life. You are 62 years old. It's past your bedtime. And that was Tweet of the Week.
Bless Rusev. I like Rusev so much better ever since he got on Total Divas.
Right? He is amazing on Total Divas.
They've kind of like brought that to TV.
Yeah.
Because they just let Rusev be Rusev.
Check out the Rack Extra. Total Divas available now. RackRadioShow.com.
We're coming up on the mid-season finale, y'all, next week. And then we go on hiatus. And we're going to cry. Because reasons.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Showdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
So, we had the A-lister against AJ Styles. John Cena was in the background poking the bear on both sides. you know, you're gonna let him do that, you're gonna let him say that about you, you're gonna let him say that about you. I thought that was funny.
Cena just, like, basically going poke, poke, poke to those two was hilarious. Like, the whole opening segment to SmackDown was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was very well done.
Yeah.
Because you had everybody taking shots at everybody, like, there was no chill whatsoever. Just none.
There wasn't. And it was announced that the Elimination Chamber returns in 4 weeks for the WWE Championship.
Yay. And everybody's vying to get in the chamber, except for AJ. He wants no part of that.
He wants no part of it.
He don't want none.
He don't want none of the chamber, no. No. Natty didn't want any of Nikki or merch, and she has none. Even Bret Hart had merch. So she ripped down all the merch. They brawled. I thought the brawl was good, but Natty needs better lines.
They need to write Natty better, but I love that they took this out of the ring, and they took this up into the arena, and they were fighting in the merch stands. It's kind of a throwback to when, you know, back in the day, in the Attitude Era, when they would fight all over the arena, you know, go through a merch stand, whatever. So I really like how they did this. It was very well done. And you just have the girls, you know, everybody watching the crowd. In the crowd, just standing around as they're beating the crap out of each other. It was amazing.
I'm trying to figure out which segment to go to next. I can let you go off, or we both can go off on a segment. Which one do you want to do first?
Well, you want to sit back for 10 minutes, so let's save that one for the end.
All right, then let's talk about this one. The heart-stopping King's Court.
Oh my god.
One, Jerry, don't bring out 30-year-old gear on HD television.
Get it cleaned.
It looked yellow, not white.
You could see the rust stains on it.
Number two, wear a shirt.
Oh, God, please, or at least pull up the strap. Like, they were keeping tight shots on him for a reason.
Number three, there was no need for this to be brought up on television. None whatsoever. You are now making Dolph Ziggler into a guy who's looking to kill wrestlers, because that's his new attitude. He's just looking to kill people. Was that the point of it? Was the point just to get some heel heat on him? I don't know. It didn't work. It made me want to turn off my television. It was that awful. We brought up the fact that Jerry Lawler died on national television. Yeah.
And essentially blamed it on Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, that's the story they're running with. Yep, that's where we're going with this one. I don't like the fact that they brought up the footage. I don't like the fact that they brought it up. I thought it was tasteless. I thought it was pointless. It's not getting Dolph Ziggler over. Nothing will get Dolph Ziggler over because he's a whining baby, whining heel now. And he whined for the first part of it before he brought up the death footage. It's like, come on. You're just not... Can we stop? Can we stop with Dolph Ziggler? Can we just stop trying to make him? He's not going to be made. Jerry Lawler's not going to get him over. JBL's not going to get him over. The heat he has, he's going to just continue to lose matches. It's going to be pointless. This was a waste of my time. Pointless segment.
I get where they were going with it. I get that they tried, and I appreciate that they tried, but this is such a sensitive thing, because for me, it kind of goes back to Jerry Lawler is alive by the grace of God, or whatever divine force is out there, or whatever you believe.
Eight people out of a high percentage live from what he lived through.
Yeah, I mean, basically, he should be dead, and the only reason he's not is because a doctor was sitting right next to him, essentially, when it happened, and they were able to treat him immediately. That is how he survived that. So, for me, for them to be standing there on national television, not necessarily making light of it, but basically almost poking the bear, saying, you know, oh, well, you should be dead, or I almost killed you, or this or that or the other thing, whatever they were saying, because I don't remember the lines exactly. It's like, you're really tempting the universe to try this again. You know, you're putting that vibe out there where it's like, you know, oh, okay, yeah, you know, this was nothing, I'm cool, you know, I'm invincible, and you're basically daring the universe to try it again, which is like, you don't want to do that. That's bad, bad vibes.
He brought up he would do it again. Don't make me do it again. Like, you know, he brought up wanting to basically kill Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, it's like, that's not good. That's not good business to me. It's like, don't do that. And then it's like, to show the footage of him doing the elbow drops, it's like, why? Because then you're standing there going, oh God, are they going to show the heart attack footage? Please don't show the heart attack footage, because I've already seen that enough. I remember watching that show when he had it, thinking, oh God, and we all sat here, everybody on this network at the time, all sat here going, he's dead. Oh God, he's dead. He just died on national television. And freaking out when it happened. So it's like any time they bring it up, it's always a really sensitive subject. And it's just, it's like, why would you do this? It's like, again, it's like the stuff with Nikki, where they kept bringing up Cena and they kept hitting Cena really, really, really hard. It's like you have other avenues to go down. With Dolph Ziggler, you can find another avenue. You can have him do things other than attack a retired wrestler who had a heart attack on national television and bring up the fact that he gave him the 10 elbow drops and was essentially taking credit for trying to kill him. Like, there's other ways to tell that story. I get that they're being different, that they're trying to be edgy with it, they're trying to go somewhere else with it, but it's like, no, find another path, do another way, because it's like you're sitting there watching it, and it didn't help that this happened right after the Wyatts, which we're going to get to. But it's like, you had Dolph Ziggler walk out there, and he didn't talk. For like the first 5 minutes of this, he didn't talk. Jerry's standing there basically doing a one-sided interview. And you're watching this, and you're like, okay, can you go back to the Wyatt family? Because what just happened was really, really interesting, and now we're watching this.
The man said they brought up Reed Flair. I didn't have that much of a problem with them bringing up Reed Flair because of the people involved. Jerry Lawler was involved in this. He proved that this. I get all that. But this was, he talked about killing a man. Like,
I think Reed Flair was a little bit different, because Reed Flair, I don't think they directly mentioned by name, if I recall. I think they just kind of took a shot, and that was all they did. And Charlotte approved of it. And it's not saying that Jerry Lawler didn't approve of it. I'm sure he did. But it's like, you...
Because here's the thing. Once the Reed Flair thing happened, they dropped it. This, they're probably going to bring up more times every single week when talking about Dolph Ziggler. You know who's in the Royal Rumble? Dolph Ziggler. Who's calling the Royal Rumble? Jerry Lawler. Whatever it's going to be brought up there. Oh, I bet it does. So it's not just one time. We're going to continually bring this up. If he's going to be killed, the killer assassin, Dolph Ziggler, then fine. Or whatever. It's start of a new gimmick. But he's going to be the show saver? Show stopper? Show off? Whatever he is. Dolph Ziggler. The guy who can't get over to save his life, whether he's heel or face. That guy. It's going to become, if that becomes who he is, okay, whatever. But he's going to be the same Dolph Ziggler. This does nothing for a Dolph Ziggler. What they were trying to do, I'm not blaming Dolph.
Yes, this isn't Dolph's fault. Dolph is just working with what they're giving
him. This was bad creative. It was totally bad creative. That's all. It was a segment they tried. It failed. A lot of people didn't like it. Jerry Lawler, I will say this, Jerry Lawler was fantastic in it.
Jerry Lawler owned it. He did a wonderful job. Aside from the stained cape, he did a really, really good job with it. And props to him, but it's like, just the segment, it's like, it's such a sensitive thing because so many people saw it and so many people remember it because I remember Twitter that night. Everybody's like, he's dead. He's dead. We're all sitting there waiting for Jim Ross, because I think it was Jim Ross or it was Michael Cole. No,
it was Michael Cole.
To come on Raw and say Jerry Lawler has died. Literally, we were all sitting here waiting for that to happen.
I was in reporter mode. I was contacting people. We had a person on the air who was live in the building. So, yeah, it was one of those nights. When you bring up tragic events, this is the sort of things happen. It's not doing anything for anyone.
And it's one thing to mention it in passing, like what they did kind of with Reed Flair. They said it once, and they didn't go back to it. This was... like you said, they hit it, and they just kept hitting it over and over and over again, and you're sitting there like, move on, and then they're like, well, we're going to show the footage. It's like, please don't show the footage. Please don't show the footage, and they showed the elbow drops. Thank God they didn't show him being wheeled out of the arena, because I would have turned it off. Because they did this with somebody else, where they brought up Lawler's heart attack. Wasn't it Heyman? It was somebody that, like... brought up Lawler's heart attack, and it pissed off a lot of people, including me, because I remember, I think that's the one time I had to turn off Raw and just walk away from it, because I just could not stand it.
I don't remember how exactly it was, but I remember when you turned off Raw that night. Yeah.
It was Heyman. I think it was Heyman.
Something like that.
That was doing it. But it's like, it's such a thing that it's like...
Oh, it was during the Punk stuff.
That's right, it was Punk and Heyman.
I had to think for a second. It's like, why would she turn off Paul Heyman except for the thing? No, it was the Punk and Heyman stuff. That's what it was.
Yeah. Where it was so disgusting, it's like, you have to turn it off.
And that was right after the fact, too.
Yeah, it was right after it. Which, again, Jerry Lawler green-lighted, but it's like, we're such fast, passionate fans that, to us, it's more. I'm sure it's something huge to Jerry Lawler, because obviously he lived through it, and if he's okay with it, that's great. But, it's like, for everybody else, it's like, you watch that happen, and you're like, oh my god, why are you doing that? It's like, just leave it alone. Don't bring it up. There are other ways to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. Figure it out. Because it's such a cheap thing to do. It's like, really, that's the best you could come up with. And I understand creative is challenged. I understand they're writing a lot of TV. I understand they burn out easy. So it's like sometimes the EVC thing is like, oh, Dolph Ziggler almost, you know, basically gave Jerry Lawler a heart attack. Great, let's run with that. You know, I get that from a creative prospect, you know, circumstance, whatever. That's like, okay, yeah, let's do that. But think it through.
Luann's rings up, Eddie, it was in hell. Got it. We're talking about actually when he basically said, I'm going to kill you. That's where it crossed the line for me.
The Eddie stuff was equally as tasteless.
It was tasteless. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, Ziggler said, he's going to finish the job. Basically, I want to kill you right here in this ring right now. And then kick them in the chest. That's what happened.
Yeah.
I know the idea was get the heat, but it just, there's good heel heat and there's really bad heel heat. This was really bad heel heat and it's not going to draw a dime.
Yeah, I mean, basically this is on creative. Those other times were on creative too, where it's like, you find another way to do it.
And I usually don't get offended by stuff. It takes a lot to get me offended by things.
Same.
Like the Ric Flair stuff, I wasn't offended. So anyway. Moving on, next subject.
Next subject, yeah. Just don't agree with it, didn't like it. Please find another way. Don't bring it back up again, because I don't tempt the fates. Don't let Rob hear you.
Basically. So, trouble in Wyatt Hood?
Oh my god. As the Wyatts turn. Good lord.
So what happened?
You would think that a bunch of beardy men would not have this much drama in their lives, but apparently they have drama in their lives. So, well, starts out with Dean Ambrose first demanding that he wants a new IC title. Shane McMahon says no. Then Shane offers him a spot in the chamber with Dean's like, yeah, I should probably be in that, you know. And then he wants retribution on the Wyatt family. So initially Shane offers up Bray Wyatt. Dean declines. He wants Randy Orton. He wants the Viper.
By the way, spoiler, probably getting a new IC title. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, probably getting a new IC title. And US title. Which they will be red and blue. Just prepare yourselves. Just saying. And probably look like the WWE title
They're not going to look like... No, I can confirm they're not going to look like the WWE title.
They're not?
No.
Oh, thank God. So, Dean Ambrose gets his wish. He gets Randy Orton. Bray and Luke and Randy all come down to the ring. They're all cohesive. There's only minor awkwardness after Luke kicked Bray in the face last week. And Bray and Luke are at ringside as Randy fights Dean. And it's really awkward because it's like Bray's two current boyfriends are with him. Boyfriend one is fighting his ex-boyfriend. Meanwhile, he's at ringside hugging boyfriend two, trying to get him to stop from getting involved in boyfriend one's match.
So far, so good. Yeah, continue.
Yeah. So this basically was going on. So, you know, Luke kept trying to get involved. Bray had to pull him off a couple times, including where they hugged, which was hilarious. I love wrestling for the Wyatt hug.
So...
Randy got physical with Dean. That's the best way I can describe it on the announce table. That happened.
Luke took a dive for, pushed Randy out of the way, took the dive from Dean Ambrose. And then we got into the ring, and Randy did the draping DDT, and then it was going for the RKO. Out of nowhere, Luke Harper enters ring. And Luke Harper gets in the ring, and he's like, why is he in the ring? So the referee gets him out of the ring. Bray's like, get out. Randy gets rolled up, 1, 2, 3. Randy loses to Dean Ambrose. And then everyone has a mad. Go.
Everyone has a mad. Bray's mad at Luke. Luke is mad at Randy. Randy's mad at Luke. Luke and Randy have had enough of each other. They're done. Bray is desperately trying to split them up. Luke's shirt comes off. The overshirt, not the tank top. He and Randy get in each other's faces. They're going to fight each other. Bray is desperately trying to get them to part. They won't do it. So what is it? What happens? Bray Wyatt smacks the crap out of Luke Harper, and I swear to God, it looked like Bray had shot Luke's dog. Like, just the look on Harper's face was like, oh my Jesus. And you saw a little smirk on Randy Orton's face, to which Luke Harper saw it, too. Bray didn't. So Bray turns around, basically yells at Randy. Luke's behind Bray going, he's working you, he's screwing with you, he's trying to break us up. You know, Bray doesn't want to listen.
This is your fault.
This is your fault. You know, he's bringing dissension in the family. We're divided. You're not listening. You're being a horrible leader. And so what does Luke do? Luke leaves. Luke walks out on Bray Wyatt, to which I was yelling at the television, Bray, go after him.
I can confirm this.
It happened. There was profanity involved with that. Lots of it. I'm not going to repeat it on air, because we try to keep it clean on this show.
I'm going to answer your question in a minute, Lamance. Then Bray Wyatt later in the show announced that next week on the show it will be Randy Orton versus Luke Harper to settle their differences. He also announced that they will all be in the Royal Rumble match as well.
I love how Bray's overdramatic backside, you know, it's like Cole's already broken the news to Wyatt's are going to be in the Royal Rumble, but no, Bray has to, you know, do his whole appear out of nowhere thing, announce they're in the Rumble, and then he's like, you know what, screw it. They're going to fight for my love because a family divided is no family at all, to which I say, well, Randy's never been a part of the family, so there's your problem right there.
Now, they have a strong bond, according to Bray Wyatt, the interview he did on the Sun, they have a strong bond. Secondly, answering the man's question, the idea was for them to be a dominant force and probably take over SmackDown, and then creative changed. Because Randy and Bray were getting along really, 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 really well. And the long-term plan was for them to be together past WrestleMania. Now, probably not so much. So, there's your story there. They changed directions. For whatever reason. I'm curious to see where this goes. I'm curious to see whether Luke leaves the family, Randy leaves the family. What side does Bray choose? Does he choose old love or new love?
Well, I think ultimately it's to split Harper away from the family, because I think ideally they're going to keep Bray and Randy together. And when Eric comes back, you'll have Eric and Randy and Bray do the whole Wyatt family gimmick with Luke going off into singles. Because I can actually see, if they can't work it out, Luke being thrown out of the family. Because Bray cannot control Luke.
But that won't happen for many weeks, because it's going to be a slow build to whatever they're doing.
Yeah, this is going to Chamber. Whatever this is, it's going to probably Rumble, and we're going to have more in Rumble, and then we'll get a match at Chamber between them for something, and possibly Mania. Who knows? But it's like, this was really, really well done, and it was like, you had Luke walk out on Bray, which you never see, and it was just like, oh my god, Bray go after him, you know, the cameras go after them, because I want to see this. Right? This is the most interesting thing they've done with the Wyatts in a while, and it's like, just go after them. Because I need to see this, but no, we did Dolph Ziggler instead. And then you had Bray do an interview on Talking Smack after the show, where he got interviewed by Renee Young, which made me excessively happy, because I've been waiting for her to interview him, and it was all kinds of awkward. Where basically, he's done. He's tired of this crap. He's so done. He's like, I have other things on my mind that I shouldn't have on my mind, so we're just going to settle it. And he thinks that by allowing Randy and Luke to settle their differences, that will bring them back together. I don't think that's the case, but it could, maybe.
Maybe, possibly.
I don't know.
Possibly.
But, because, I mean, obviously Luke knows Randy cannot be trusted. Luke has known from day one that Randy cannot be trusted. Bray, as we all know, is a lovable, trusting, blind fool. We've seen it so many other times with Bray, where he just sort of can be lured in and accepting when he really shouldn't be. He's kind of learned, like, he was slightly distrustful of Randy Orton. But then Randy's like, no, man, I love you. Let's be together forever. And Bray's like, okay. That's exactly what happened. But I'm really digging this with the Wyatts. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because this could lead to the heartbreaking, it's going to kill me match between Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper, possibly at WrestleMania. It could.
It could.
It would be okay if that happened. Totally okay if that happened.
And the song we came in with, Oh Hey Mickey.
Yes. Yes, because she's back. Because it was painfully obvious when she came out. Mickie James has returned to SmackDown.
Okay, so we've seen La Luchadora in many incarnations. No one was as stacked in an area like the show name Rack like this La Luchadora. It's like, oh wait, we know who that one is.
You could tell by the way she walked. You could tell by the way that she had her tits out. You could tell every way. It's like, yep, that's Mickie. That's so Mickie. Like, just from the upper body alone, you could tell it was Mickie. Yeah. Like, I don't know who they had doing it before, but it's like, yep, that's Mickie James.
It was Deonna Purrazzo who was doing it before, who appeared on Impact tonight.
Okay, that makes sense.
She gets work everywhere.
Go her.
So, that's that. She came in, helped Alexa Bliss retain the women's title. I thought it was a good angle. It was cool to see a women's angle close the show.
It was really cool. The cage match between Becky and Alexa was well done. I wish they had a little bit more time. I mean, you could tell, God bless Alexa. They keep putting her in these matches, and she's so short. She couldn't quite reach the top of the cage. Becky was, like, trying to climb out, and she's trying to do the spot where she grabs the hair and pulls her back in. She almost couldn't reach Becky.
Poor evil Sparkle Fairy, who's really, really tiny.
Yeah, I mean, she was trying. Bless her, she was trying. And, you know, it's like they put her in the tables match back in December. The tables are bigger than her. It's like, do it, Alexa. Do the thing. But
it was cool to see them close the show with a returning, a female return with a big angle. I thought that was a nice change of pace.
It was. You know, they had the women spotlighted. They were in the main event. They got a focus. You know, like you said, they did the big angle. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I can't complain about this. My only problem with it was I wish they had had a little bit more time. Because I think Becky's probably at some point in her career done a cage match.
They said neither one had.
Neither one had? Okay, that makes it even better, I guess, where it's like, you know, give them time to work out the cage. Give them time to figure it out.
And I think just based on the show, it was probably running long, so the probably time was short.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, if you're going to do something like that, you know, give them time to figure the cage out, because they were trying to work the cage out while working the match.
Because unlike Raw, they don't have the overrun. They have to be up there at exactly 10.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, if it's not over at 10, that's it. You don't find out what happens. Mm-hmm. You have to go to Twitter.
Right. So, that's SmackDown. I thought it was a good show, except for the Jerry Lawler stuff.
Thought it was a well-done show, yeah, except for the Dolph Ziggler Jerry Lawler segment. So, well done. Bravo. Let's do NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Ty Dillinger doesn't know what the hell's going on. What's his future? Is he going to be in the Royal Rumble? Rumble 10. Can we stop with the 10s when counting?
He's going to be number 10.
I'm fine with him being number 10. And then can we stop with people? Okay, you want to talk about the UK tournament? What ruined the UK tournament a little bit for me? When everyone started counting 10 with the referees at 3. It was screwing up the announcers. They could not tell what number they were at. Stop with the 10. It's stupid. It's dumb. It's ridiculous. Stop. We get Ty Dillinger's over, but stop with the thing. You're going to ruin any spot they try to do with counting. Stop. Anyway, Idol Joe doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know his future. Sanity came out. They wanted him to be a part of the group. He picks up the jacket they gave him, then throws it back in the face of Eric Young. Then the new member, Big Damo, I think he has a new name, but I can't remember it off the top of my head, picked up the jacket. They left Ty Dillinger laying. So there's a new member of Sanity. So they replaced the one that got injured.
Yay.
Nikki Cross had a horrible match in the opening segment.
Yeah, this was not good.
The revival
was really not good.
It was awful. The Revival lost to TM61 and then took their frustrations out on TM61, I think taking out the dude who's injured.
Yeah.
I believe. We had some setups for some matches going forward, like we're going to get Ember Moon and Liv Morgan here in the future. Liv, why poke the bear? Why?
At least she did Ember Moon and not Asuka again.
It's true, but Liv...
I mean, she's still going to get her butt kicked, but...
Liv, I know you only live once, but come on, girl. You're picking on the wrong people. Just saying. Let's see. What else happened on the show? We'll get to the contract signing here a second. Oh, yes. They also set up, there was an awkward moment with No Way Jose and some dude. Kona Reeves. Like, okay. I didn't know who you were. I guess that was his debut, I guess. I don't remember.
I think Brooklyn was his debut, but we haven't seen him since Brooklyn. And so he brought up Brooklyn and everybody's like, wait, what?
Wait, who are you again?
What happened in Brooklyn? You were there?
Wait,
what? Like, yeah. I actually had to ask Rock, I'm like, who is that?
And I had to go search out a report going, oh, that's who it was. Still don't know who you are. Then we had a glorious contract signing with Shinsuke Nakamura and Bobby Roode. Bobby was awesome. Shinsuke was great. I enjoyed it.
I thought it was really good. He called him a Shiba Inu.
Thank you for saying that, because I would never pronounce it.
I love sassy Shinsuke. I just love him. Like, he was having none of Bobby. None of it.
And then he was ending the promo where, and he was mocking Bobby with the Glorious. He never said Glorious. I was hoping he would have said Glorious, but he didn't. He had the crowd do it for him. It was just perfect. I thought it was well done. They're going to have a great match at NXT TakeOver San Antonio a week from Saturday.
Yep. Going to be fantastic. But I think that does it for NXT and for us.
It does. And this show, speaking of NXT San Antonio, there'll be one of two shows we preview next week here on The Rack.
That's right. We're talking about the Royal Rumble and NXT TakeOver next week. You don't want to miss it. So don't forget, there are 5 spots left in the Royal Rumble Challenge. You can join everybody on this network, plus everybody that's already signed up for a chance to win bragging rights. Tweet us, email us, give us your information, and we'll throw you in the drawing to get a Rumble number and a superstar for next week. Closes Saturday, right?
No, you can go right up until we do the drawing. So, yeah. Because, I mean, didn't announce it on WTR because there was no WTR. So, yeah, throughout the show on WTR before we do it. So, we got till 11 o'clock Eastern on Sunday. So, tell people, get involved, get interactive. Join the Royal Rumble entry contest. Email, Twitter, Facebook, you know them by now. And I'm going to repeat them here in a second. It's midnight on the East Coast, which means you probably have another opportunity. So, go right now. Before he takes it down and vote for the Rack at the Wrestling Radio Awards, WrestlingRadioAwards.com. If you're hearing this archive and it's still up, please go vote, WrestlingRadioAwards.com. Because I'm right there right now and hitting submit.
Same here.
And it went through. So there you go. There's another vote for the Rack at the WrestlingRadioAwards.com. Follow the show on Twitter at Rack Radio Show. Twitter.com/Rack Radio Show. RackRadioShow.com. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show. 5 days of content. Plus extras, including the WTR Royal Rumble, which happened on Tuesday night at twitch.tv/rackradioshow, which was a lot of fun. It'll be available on YouTube on Saturday for everyone to see it. So no spoilers. We'll talk about that. Speaking of the Royal Rumble, the simulations that we announced here on the show, WWE 2K17 Sim, we're going to do a live sim of the Royal Rumble because it takes like 45 minutes. Tuesday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, we're going to do it again, twitch.tv/rockradioshow. So come, have fun, do the sim, and some other stuff on as well. So check it out. All the video game stuff, youtube.com/rockradioshow and twitch.tv/rockradioshow. Saturday night, midnight-ish. It's another edition of CB Radio. It's the Greater Than Great Debate Cartoons episode. We have 128 cartoons. Which will be number one? I know which one won't be. But beyond that, I don't know who else will win. So check it out. It's the CB Radio Greater Than Great Debate, along with Say What, and so much more. Super Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Sunday is Russell Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Heartbreak Mike, and the Omega returning live, 10 p.m. Eastern, previewing the Royal Rumble. Monday night's Raw Push, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday for another edition of The Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, 10 p.m. Eastern, previewing NXT TakeOver San Antonio and the Royal Rumble. At Wild Talk Radio on Facebook or on Twitter, Wild Talk Radio Network on the Twitter machine. Make sure you subscribe to the group or join the group, rather. Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network, and you can be involved in all the pick'em stuff we do and so much more. Interact, get involved, tell a friend or 10. It's going to be exciting. It's Royal Rumble season. We're going to have a lot of fun right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
You good?
Yeah.
All right. You can follow me on the Twitters at Lens War, not Wild Talk Radio, good lord. LNSWRD, and go to my website, sacredwarddesigns.com.
That's my plug.
Yeah, I know. If you like my work, if you'd like to view my work, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LensWard, same as the Twitter. I'm tired, and it's raining, so it doesn't help. Also, I just want to give a quick shout out to everybody. Tomorrow, here in the U.S., is a big day. Please be careful. I don't care what side you're on. I don't care who you voted for. Please don't do anything stupid. Please be careful. I want everybody to be okay after tomorrow, so sides be damned. Just be careful, okay? Don't do anything stupid. Don't do anything your mom would have grounded you for when you were 5.
I don't want to report things tomorrow on Saturday night on CB Radio.
Exactly.
I don't want to hashtag blame Rob people. More than yes. I have to.
So everybody, please, take care. be careful tomorrow here in the States. Just, yeah.
If you don't like what's going on, do something fun.
Yeah, go do something fun. Don't complain on social media. Just turn it off and go do something fun. That's what I'm going to kind of do because I'll be at work, but I'm going to turn it off because I don't want to watch it, so I'm not going to watch it. But, yeah, so everybody be careful. Everybody don't do anything stupid. Just find something else, okay? Just
you know what you can do? Distract yourself with youtube.com/rackradioshow.
There you go. Ding! Hashtag go booze. After 5 o'clock. Yes, after 5 o'clock, that is go booze. So, I also have to give a big shout out to our sponsors. TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans, Gerwick.net, and Wrestling Figure Photography, Instagram.com/MBG1211. Follow the journey today. So, thank you so much for listening tonight. Everybody, tune in, because we are talking Rumble and TakeOver next week. You don't want to miss it. Till then, this has been The Rack, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. He's Rock. I'm Lindsay. We're out. Bye.